This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It's a return to studio Tuesday. General at your service, at ease. There's Jeff Cavanaugh to my right. Across the table, Brian Broaddus. And in the Pimp Cup, keeping the Gators down, it's Lucius Alexander, and a good afternoon to you, sir. How the hell are you?
What's up, though, everybody?
Yeah!
Hello!
Where are all the wipes and the sanitizers and the Clorox? Ha-ha! Let's go! I'm going to give you some right now.
We are off and running here in the G-Bag Nation. Hope you enjoyed Rangers baseball yesterday. We'll have more of that coming up this evening with the Toronto Blue Jays. Congrats, big time are in order, gentlemen.
Thank you. Yes, I did. I got the tomatoes and the jalapenos yesterday. Found them at the Home Depot.
Right on.
And now the garden's really cooking. So right thank on. You. Thank you for the congratulations.
Thanks. Advantage of that extra time. Got that garden banged out.
Yeah. Trying to figure out how much to water them now. The internet says an inch. And I'm like, how are we measuring inches? I'm pouring it out of a bucket. I don't understand.
I think you got to put like a cup or something in the garden. And as the sprinkler goes around, when that cup gets around an inch full, then you know, like you got a marker on it, like a jar.
But I bought one of those. I bought one of the things.
You bought a bucket?
I bought a thing with a handle on the top.
Yeah.
And you pour it, and it comes out of the little spout on the end with the holes in it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how to measure.
Can we stick a measuring tape down in there and an inch of water, maybe?
No one cares. Yeah, just move on. So. No one cares.
Well, if you accomplished anything in the last 72 hours or so that needs recognition, you just go ahead and jump in here on the Autoflex Leasing fan text or tweet one of us. Oh. You know, we're here for you. I got a lot of stuff done as well. I'll tell you that, you know, maybe after we get to the massive sports stories of the day, Jeff.
682 said, y'all should cut Jeff's mic off for old time's sake. I can do that myself now. I can just be talking and talking.
Oh, yeah. And we got pretty good at picking up like it was just the end of your sentence.
Yeah. Mid-word.
Yeah.
Guys, I've got a huge story to...
Oh, yeah, I thought you did.
Yeah.
Gavin would just finish the sentence. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Jeff was telling me about that earlier. Uh-huh. No, congrats, though, you know, for the Baylor Bears and winning the NCAA championship. That is awesome. Second to Gonzaga all season long, had their opportunity taken from them last year from the pandemic, and they showed when they had the chance, at least for the one night, they were not only equal to Gonzaga, they're way better. Holy cow, what a game by Baylor. What a great run, and congratulations to everybody involved down there. That was sweet.
Yeah, I told everybody, no one cares about the tournament. You know, we're in North Texas.
Sure.
No one cares about the tournament, but I ended up locked in towards the end. I was like, all right, Baylor, and a... Started looking at mock drafts to be like, all right, look, the players in this game, how good are they? And turns out there's a lot of really good players in that game. And I think it was Mike Golic Jr. who sent out the tweet of the night. And it was like, Gonzaga, we've got one of the best offenses ever. Baylor, we lift with the football team. Gonzaga's got these kind of beanpole, talented, offensive dudes. And
shorter guys.
Everybody on Baylor is like, right, but my quads are huge, and I'm going to hound you all night.
And we make threes.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, that was an incredible display of basketball from Baylor all the way around.
Yeah, and I feel like, though, too, I know early in the basketball season, Gonzaga was in some tournaments where they beaten Kansas and things like that, and you're kind of like, oh, maybe this team has something. But I really do believe that Baylor playing in the Big 12 all season long, you had to deal with Texas Tech, you know, you had to deal with these programs that were really Oklahoma State, you know, battle tested teams that were going to, every night that you had to play them, you were going to be a part of that and really a war. And I think at the end of the day, that's where Scott Drew and the Baylor Bears all season long having to deal with that. Nothing against Gonzaga. They play out there out on the West Coast, they, you know, with St. Mary's and some of the other programs. But it's just not the same. The Big 12 really was one of the better conferences this year, and I think that ultimately helped Baylor, not only having the talent, but being battle-tested every week, having to navigate this this conference.
Indeed. You know, I think level of competition throughout the season can matter, especially in big situations, because it gives you another kind of team that you have to solve.
Right.
And I don't know that Gonzaga solved that many teams like Baylor. Obviously, no. There's no team as good as Baylor. But when you look at the bigger athletic teams that can really lock into you defensively, it takes an adjustment.
Yeah, I just, you know, and as I was saying, I was thinking about West Virginia. I mean, I'm just thinking about these teams. I didn't mention Kansas to start. Like that's what it's always, but the Big 12 has become a really interesting basketball conference. And I'll tell you what, if you don't have talent on your squad, you're not going to survive that. And Gonzaga got a dose of that last night.
They sure did. And boy, I tell you what, you know, now you talk about Baylor putting together a dang good basketball program, and you know, along with some of the other stuff going on inside this state. I know it's the first one in a long, long time inside these borders, right?
Texas Wesleyan, I think 66, I want to say that's when it was.
I prefer to call them UTEP.
UTEP, there you go.
UTEP.
Yeah.
But now, you know, maybe with Chris Beard going to UT and all the great talent we have, not only in the Houston area, but the Metroplex and everywhere in between, it seems like, you know, maybe this could be the jumping off point, along with all of Tech's accomplishments in recent years, to this becoming a great basketball state on top of the football state it already is.
Well, I tell you what, you're right about that. You know, and you go back and heck, I don't know how many years, but it's been a few. Baylor had to endure that huge scandal with Dave Bliss and that whole. Yeah. I mean, we're
18 years ago.
Where Baylor has come from, and nobody wants to.
You mean where the head coach started a rumor that a player was a drug dealer to cover up that he was paying him after he'd been murdered?
Yeah, there's just a lot of things going on down there at school that's 90 miles south of us, basketball wise, and even football wise, but. Yeah, I mean, Scott Drew, they've come in there and they've done a great job of recruiting kids. They've done a great job of signing kids, bringing kids in. And, you know, they proved last night, though, really all year long, that they're one of those teams that clearly is on the rise the way they're playing, and they get a national championship out of it.
Now, in the draft, can't you buy first-round picks for pretty cheap? Nobody cares once they get past, like, the top 10.
Yeah,
because I'm trying to buy the pick.
Top 18, something
okay,
like that.
Okay, I'm trying to buy the pick to go get Davion Mitchell, 45, from Baylor.
Yeah.
I don't know how many 6'2 guards we need, but that dude is a baller. So let's go get him.
There were so many NBA players on the court last night.
Oh.
Seven?
Suggs, six? The point guard for Gonzaga, is in the mix for number one. These are
stupid
things
good.
These are things I've learned in the last 48 hours.
Okay.
Timmy, the guy that everybody talked about all tournament, he's apparently a second-round guy.
Yeah.
You hate him because he plays no defense, right?
I don't have a preference. He's from Richardson, so I like him. Number 24 for Gonzaga, who hadn't done much in those last two games of the tournament, but he's supposedly a lottery guy because he's the best shooter in the country or one of them. 12 for Baylor is projected as a first-round pick. 45 is a first-round pick. And then I'm probably missing a guy or two that's like a second-round guy.
Well, congrats. Keep it up. Yeah, I thought that Suggs guy was incredible watching him against UCLA.
I don't want him to replay the game because Baylor won, and I like that. But I wonder if you get to a 16-point lead if Suggs is in foul trouble. Because after that, it was like they're trying to make a push from down 16 to within 9, and then it's 14,
close,
and then
though.
It's 10, and then it's 12. And it's like, what if they never lost maybe the best player in the country? Is it a closer game? Which I don't need to know the answer because Baylor won, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Best team won.
I think if they lined up again, I would be picking Baylor. I don't think it'd be a double-digit game the whole ride, but yeah, as impressive as that was, I think Vegas would probably install it as like a Baylor as a 3-point favorite on a neutral court until Gonzaga proved otherwise. Okay. Yes, welcome, NG Bag Nation, and thanks for texting in. We see your feedback coming, and it's cool to all be together in studio. 903 says you can use a tuna can to measure an inch. So you put the tuna can down.
No,
you guys, water's flying all over the place. It's hitting your garden.
None of you are understanding. Okay, listen, I'm container gardening, all right? It's not in the ground.
Yeah.
Right? I'm in a container.
Yeah.
So 1 inch of water is measured
like a
via
milk jug?
What? Like I should do in... so fill a tuna can for each container, and that's an inch
of
water?
That'd be an inch of water, yeah. I assume so. That's why I was saying, so if you have a bucket, just use the ruler.
You can't set up a sprinkler that goes over the entire area of the thing and measure when an inch of water has fallen in the general area? No?
I don't know. Look, the problem is I'm stupid, all right? And I just want to have vegetables, and then I'll never have to go to the grocery store.
Do you think you can water something too much?
Yes, you can. Yeah, I looked that
up,
too.
Really?
And that's why I'm confused. That's why I don't know how much to do. I'm like, okay, it looks like the top is wet. Should I stop? Well, does it need to get more? I don't know.
I would worry more about the heat than I would the watering myself. I think heat's what just destroys
gardens. A lot of plants have their own sweet spot. It's rewarding when you learn them all, though. I got like three or four different kinds of like little indoor plants, and it's cool to figure out how much sun this one needs and how much water this one needs, and do they like their soil wet or do they like it dry, you know?
But how am I going to know that answer? Like when it dies, I'm not going to know if I gave it too much or too little.
You can Google it. Yeah, Google it.
Are the squirrels going to come after my tomatoes?
Probably.
Crap. Yeah.
I'm going to say bugs first before squirrels.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I bought the mosquito plant, too. I forgot what it's called, but it sits over there, too. I got the anti-mosquito plant.
I would worry about bugs.
Yeah, it's a fun journey, though.
You got any green leafy veggies?
Because
the rats love those, believe me. I had to tell my old girl, put them away from the door of the house, please.
I got bell peppers, squash, jalapenos, and tomatoes.
Okay.
Of course, you got your bunny rabbits, too. They're going to come after those leafy greens.
Well, I do keep the back door open. The dogs are there.
Rodents
so.
Will pop up. Possums, if you don't mind cleaning up an old dead possum, then you're all right.
I don't mind. I'd love to see the combat between a possum and one of my dogs. I think that'd be cool.
You don't want that with the rabies potential, right?
Yeah,
you don't want you don't want that possum biting your dog.
Well, I want him to have combat experience.
I'm with you. I wouldn't let my dog go the other day, but the rabbits, the rabies, dogs.
Yeah, that would be tough.
You have to old yellow them.
Yeah. Nobody wants that.
Oh, no.
Nobody wants to do that. I don't have the guts.
Stomp is getting up there, though.
Okay, man. She is like 11 or 12.
But in the back of the head, so you can't see it coming.
She's got all the weird lumps on her tummy, and I don't want to go to the vet because I don't want to know.
Oh, yeah.
Probably benign. 214, wife and I got licensed for foster care and got our first placement this weekend. Congrats.
There you go.
There's some G-bag recognition for you.
Is that dogs or humans? What are you?
I would imagine that's humans.
Humans?
Yes. Plant radishes around your squash and the squash bugs won't eat them. Okay. Rain measure by Accurate. Just stick it in the ground next to your plant. Okay. We got a lot of gardeners out there. They understand. It's therapeutic. You know, it's one of them good hobbies.
972, Jeff, you need a gardening mentor. You sound stupid right now. The internet has the answers.
Man,
I looked them all up.
YouTube. My grandma's on YouTube every single day learning how to garden better. Every single day. The house looks like a jungle inside, bro. We got that bohemian vibe going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. All the vines and stuff in the house.
Yes. That's what I'm shooting for.
Yeah,
that's
man.
What I'm going for.
She's got that. That ain't me.
Okay. It adds something. I don't know what it is, but there's a piece.
Yeah.
You know, and plus it's giving you oxygen.
I bought a pipe. What are you talking about? Like the old school, the brown pipes, the wood ones. I bought a brown wood pipe.
What do you put in it?
Nothing yet. It's just heavy because it looked like that, you know, with all the leather bound books.
Yeah.
And vines in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel like that.
Now are you going to get some loose tobacco to drop in there, or are we just going straight get high?
Nah, I'll probably put some CBD in there.
Okay.
You know, some flour.
Yeah. Keep it calm.
I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of calm, not many Mavs fans are calm after hearing this Porzingis news.
Mm.
Sprained right wrist. At least it's not broken, I guess. Could cause him to miss multiple games. Yeah. This isn't one that I worry too much about. You know, it's ligament tendon type of stuff, but it's not his lower half. So, I kind of look at these more of freakish. I don't know how this happened. He's injury prone. But I don't think it's going to be something that, you know, once it's healed, we're going to have to worry about. It's not one of his surgically repaired knees, but still it sucks. Carlisle saying we don't have a timetable and we hope it's not serious.
Oh.
Boy, Rick, know anything about this, Brian? What can you tell us?
Yeah, text him, Brian.
I will. I will text him about that. I thought I'd give him a little chance to kind of get some. Last night after the game, post-game, they asked him about it, and he said he had not talked to Casey Smith, the trainer. So I will text and ask him if we have anything. Maybe we'll have an update then. But, like I said, I agree with you, General. As long as it's not something to do with his lower body, the knee stuff, you know, I mean, they can, you know, he's played with it.
Yeah,
so,
been dealing
with it
for a couple weeks
and
now.
He's actually had some success. So hopefully he can find a way to fight through the pain and be ready to go when they need him.
Maybe they're better without him. Is this unrealistic?
Is that you're saying that?
Is that an it's an overreaction to one game against the team with the best record in basketball, and you beat the brakes off of them? So yes, it's tongue in cheek, but maybe just Dorian Finney-Smith just keep shooting.
Now you were in a situation where you're big on replacing Dodo, though.
Well, not if he plays well. I mean, that's okay. When you change your opinion.
I didn't mean to call you out for that.
No. Like that's my goal for the Mavericks is upgrade Dodo. And so that somebody can play like Dodo just played. That was awesome.
You know, it's tough. I think they have the potential to not miss much when he's out if their other guys are shooting like they did last night. Then they can play great defense and still make shots. We got to run, though. Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL front office guy, now a front office insider for ESPN, joins us to talk about the big draft news and NFL offseason coming up next. All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're about to be joined by another friend of Brian Broaddus. Former VP of football operations for the Miami Dolphins, former GM of the New York Jets, currently ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum joining us now on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Good afternoon, guys. How are we doing in Dallas?
Oh, we're doing outstanding. It's great to hear from you again. And we understand your GM mock of the first round is out. I'd love to go over some of these picks, including, you know, who you see the Cowboys ending up with there at 10, sir, if you don't mind starting there.
Yeah, and there's no place I'd rather be on the planet than in their draft room on draft day, because last year you can make an argument they should have gone offensive line and C.D. Lamb falls to them. And in my mock draft, I have Kyle Pitts on the board with Patrick Surtain. And what in the world does Jerry Jones do if there's a good offensive player like Kyle Pitts on the board when they need a defensive player?
Take Pitts! Come on, what'd you do, Mike? Did you take Pitts?
No, I took Patrick Surtain.
No! What are you doing, Mike?
No! I'm trying to win a championship.
No, wait, what?
Oh. Do you want to lose games 49-45 for the rest of for the next year too?
Oh, that's fun. That's how we roll here in Dallas. We'll outscore anybody, right?
Yeah, that's what you're going to need to do, right?
And, sure. Well, I think that's a really good question, though, because, look, Kyle Pitts obviously would not be a need for Dallas, but if he were the best player available and you're picking in the top 10 as a GM, how do you fight that battle?
Yeah, no, and again, I think they answered it correctly last year, guys. I really do. CeeDee Lamb was the best player. You know, they had just signed Amari Cooper to that big extension, and it was an unexpected opportunity. I'm just saying that Patrick Surtain checks every box. Measurables, intangibles, physical. When you look at how he plays, the tape matches his numbers. I just think what they need, they're desperate for somebody opposite Trevon Diggs, and that's, to me, an easy, easy decision.
Mike, can we follow up on the tight end, though? Do you see Pitts as the generational type of player that might, you know, push you to ignoring need? Because a lot of people are saying this tight end could be special.
Yeah, there's no question about it. He can be. But you know what? Like, I remember my first year as a GM, we took the Prickershaw Ferguson and half our building wanted Vernon Davis, who at the time was that generational tight end. And again, I think Pitts is going to be super special. But they have so many great weapons in Dallas. They've done such a great job of amassing talent that side of the ball. They can't get off the field on third down. They can't rush the passer. But to me, it starts with someone foundationally like Surtain.
But, Mike, if they're in a situation, like you said, with the best available, I mean, you're trying to limit your mistakes, right? I mean, and especially picking in the top 10. If you – would you – on your board, would you have – and I don't know if you've probably seen most of these guys. Would you have Pitts above Surtain on your board?
Boy, that's a great question. I do, but, boy, it's close.
Okay.
You know, Pitts is a top five player. Right now, Surtain's like a top eight player for me.
Yeah.
And Pitts, to me, again, if we had to go play one game for a championship, we want him on our team. He's a point scorer. You can't cover him with one player. He was dominant, and everyone knew it was coming. I'm just saying, over a 17-game season now, you got to get off the field. And right now, Dallas just doesn't have enough players on the back end to do that.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. If I took Pitts or I took an offensive player at 10 – say I took one of these offensive tackles. Penei Sewell falls to me. Maybe even a Slater falls to me. Do you feel like to get like 44, you could grab a corner that would have? I don't know how close your corner rankings are right now. You know, is there a big disparity between the top ones and the second round ones?
There Brian, that's a really fair point. Newsom from Northwestern, Stokes from Georgia, even Campbell from Georgia. You can get a good corner in the second round. I just think when you look at a guy like Surtain, again, he checks every box from tangibles, measurements, intangibles. I mean, everything about him to me says he's going to be a high-level corner for a long time.
Okay, Mike, the next place that I want to take you is the Sam Darnold trade. He's been traded from the Jets to the Panthers. So when you were sitting in a GM chair, how long do you hold on to your evaluations of a player from a draft? Because Sam Darnold was a number three overall pick, but he's also been a bad NFL quarterback in a bad situation. So how would you handle that when it's 3 years removed from when you graded a guy?
You know, that's a great question, and Brian's been there as well. It's hard. It's really hard because you saw greatness in him at SC. Candidly, I always thought he was going to be a good player, not a great player. I just feel like if you turn the ball over in high school and turn it over in college, and he's 46 turnovers in the pros, like that doesn't change. So I think he's a guy that you have to marry the two, because you could say, well, he had multiple coordinators, multiple head coaches, and we want to give him the benefit of the doubt. And we're going to look at the high-end ceiling that we saw at SC, and we're going to not ignore it, but we can't ignore these last 3 years. And you want to come out with some sort of like reasoned position, which I think that's what Carolina did, to give them credit. They didn't give up a ton for Sam Darnold. I thought it was opportunistic of them.
So, Mike, you got this SportsCenter special tonight. That's cool, being on SportsCenter, and it's going to air, it looks like, at 6 o'clock here, Texas time, on ESPN2. You having fun with that?
Yeah, well, I know Mel and Todd are. Boy, don't call me the GM. Call me the pinata. They are coming after me hard. So it's a lot of fun. I have a lot of respect for those guys, and it was the whole process has been a ton of fun. And what I try to do is put myself in the seat of the team and say, hey, throwing out what we're hearing, all the trends, but more of like a need-based sort of like approach. And again, that's why I think the Pitts-Surtain discussion is so interesting for Dallas. It really highlights what we try to do with every team, which is to say that no one's going to deny Kyle Pitts and the generational talent that he looks like he is. But if we're building a team, do we want to lose every game 49-47? At some point, that's going to get really old and tired. So let's build a team. Let's try to win a championship. And let's go get the best player for us.
Mike, this time of year, a lot of people lie to us, right? I mean, unless you have a buddy that you feel like, well, it's not going to lie to you. But in your mock draft, you had San Francisco taking Mac Jones. Do you feel like that's something that is you could report and say, yeah, I believe this 100%? Or are we getting lied to right now?
No, I believe it 100%, Brian. And here's why. I was criticized for taking chances at GM, and candidly, some of that criticism I think was really fair. I just can't imagine in good conscience that if we were running a football team together, guys, that we would give up 3 first-round picks for a player that played in 1 game this year. That is generational guts, and I just don't think at the end of the day the 49ers would have given up all that draft capital for Trey Lance, who is a fascinating prospect to me, guys, but he played in 1 game in the 2020 season.
Do you believe that the San Francisco knows exactly what the Jets are going to do ahead of him because of Saleh being the coach there now?
Yeah, I don't think that's a secret. And I think they're sitting there saying, if we come out of this with Zach Wilson, very unlikely, or more likely Mac Jones, we could go win a championship. Because when you give up multiple first-round picks the way San Francisco did and a third-round pick, you're saying that we are literally one player away from winning a championship, and that's quarterback. And candidly, for months I've been saying Mac Jones reminds me of Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan had a ton of success with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta, and to me that is a very good match.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN front office insider. Thanks for those inside words, sir.
Really appreciate it, guys, and go defense, okay?
Dang it.
Take care. There he is, Mike. Okay. That's a fun conversation we're having here, Mike, though. Appreciate the time as always, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Pick the best player.
All right, it is time now for the G-Bag of the Day, the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and/or the internet, curated by Lucius Alexander. Sounds like he thinks it's pretty close there between Surtain and Pitts, though. How the hell you doing, Lucius?
Fantastic.
You enjoy your Monday?
Hell yeah, man. Had a fantastic time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go Rangers.
And?
So proud of him.
Oh, what's going on and everything out there in Dallas, Fort Worth? You can hear my voice. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are doing great. And who's the champ? Refresh
us. So, I'm thinking it's this Cleveland broadcaster, that Bruce Benenenenenenen guy.
I'm thinking.
Drennan. Yeah, he goes off on the collar for not knowing about baseball.
You can just simply pitch around Ramirez, keep walking him, don't give him anything to hit. The next guy, the good pitch is down the middle, he won't swing at, but the ball's down around his ankles, he hits the shortstop into a double play. This has been going on for 2 years.
Right, I guess you missed a lot of the games that Reyes hit in the clutch last year, huh?
No.
Oh, yeah. You're an idiot. You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
I'm not an idiot.
Listen, you're going to tell me you are judging. You don't know anything. You don't know squat, you stupid idiot.
Oh, wow.
You're going to tell me you're going to make a judgment on the season after one game in 30-degree weather that proves what an ignoramus you are. Get off our show.
This is beautiful.
Fair weather idiot. All right, we're going to move on here. 844.
I love it.
844-289-1421. Didn't even have the courtesy to call me by my name.
Cracked himself up there.
He did crack himself up.
You're an idiot.
That caller's battling COVID too. You know, we should give him partial credit for that. You know, he's gasping for air every 3 seconds.
Mike McCarthy.
He was.
We got Dodo right here, yo. Okay. We got Dodo. I'm going to burn through this because I got a few I've been sitting on. Dodo, last night, post-game, had a little conversation.
It's great.
He let it fly.
You scored 23, and we want to ask you about that. But what a team performance, offensively, defensively, against the best team in the league tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah, we know we had to match their intensity. They're a great team. They've been playing great. They shoot their out the ball. And, you know,
they sure do. Tell the truth, bro. Tell the truth. Shame the devil, bro.
That is a man who's not used to being the guy who gets interviewed after the game.
Nah. Absolutely. Y'all want to come to me for real?
Yeah.
I ain't ready for this, but let's do it.
And it didn't work either. The headset wasn't plugged in. Yeah. So Dodo's sitting down there talking. He's like, there's nobody there. And we can hear it on the TV. And they're like, no, we're here. And he's like, nobody wants to talk to me. They're not there. And then he realized that the headset was unplugged. And he plugged it back in. He was engineering. He killed it.
Wow. Nice job by Dodo.
Yeah. That's Jeff's guy, by the way, right?
Dodo upgraded Dodo.
Yeah.
He knew.
For a game or two.
Hold on now. He knew.
All right.
Getting over Rona.
Let me get to this one right here. Uh-huh. Brandon Marshall, is he loud and wrong right here? This is from the I Am Athlete podcast. Every time Brandon Marshall raises his voice on his podcast, because I watch it all the time when I clean the house.
So wrong.
Every time he raises his voice on this podcast, it goes viral. Tell me, is he right?
Y'all talking about because y'all talking about the NBA, got everybody got guaranteed contracts, and it's false.
They're searching this, and
I'm telling you it's the truth. No, they don't. Not everybody that's on the NBA roster have a guaranteed contract.
There's two-way contracts. There's two-way contracts.
No, it's not.
And then there's the top dog. There's the top dog.
No, it's not. There's four guys on the NBA team that got guaranteed contracts, and everybody else can be cut today and don't got nothing.
And don't have land dime.
Look it up. It's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed.
So who has a better structure, the NBA or the NFL?
I think Brandon Marshall is wrong.
Yes.
He had a little silk shirt on, like a little silk blouse, yelling and screaming.
Yeah,
clapping his hands.
It sucks. It'll really get to you, I think, if you're associated with the NFL and you ever voted for one of those deals and the truth's coming. It's like, yeah, y'all got the worst deal.
Our guy also has been diagnosed with like some borderline multiple personality things. I think, you know, Brandon's got a lot going on.
Wide receiver Brandon Marshall?
Yeah.
Talented broadcaster.
Respectfully. Jeff. Respectfully, bro.
Well, I said he's been diagnosed. I went medical.
He was just wrong.
I went medical.
Yeah, you went all the way to his deep past. Let me open up his medical folder. Let me tell you how wrong he is right now.
That is a man who might have been arguing with himself. It's possible.
Texas State University. Where's Texas State University at, gentlemen?
It is
San Marcos.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like a Catholic school or something?
No. Texas State is the
state school.
So my friends who couldn't get into Texas Tech went to Texas State. And my friends who couldn't get into Texas State went to SFA. Okay. So that's kind of the order.
It's 10 to 1 girls to guys.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a good place.
Really? It's party school.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, party school.
Yeah, you go float
guys,
the river.
Maybe. For guys. Yeah. Girls, it's like, you know, I'm about to find my mate, maybe. Let's see.
Softball school.
Hey, you know, I have nothing. I love softball thighs, fam.
It's good.
Stop.
Yeah, very athletic.
Stop it.
A churros.
You know what Jenny Finch looks like? Have you seen Jenny Finch?
Yeah.
Relax. You said churros for?
Very athletic.
Yeah, I thought we were saying big.
So let's say Sister Cindy right here has some advice. She's live from Texas State. Check this out. You know, you guys, you heathens, you should have went to church yesterday.
Tell them, Sister Cindy.
Yes, it's time to be a ho no mo.
No more.
And
no more.
Jesus is Lord.
The Lord.
Save your virginity for your
marriage,
husband.
Your husband and your wife.
Yes.
That's why I've been a virgin my whole life. You too, right?
No, I was a bad girl.
Oh!
Yeah, do as
Sister
I say.
Sister Cindy giving you some advice out there in Texas State.
I was a bad girl. Guys, battling COVID with our Cleveland announcer there, I believe a two-time G-Back of the Day champion. Dodo's challenging. So is Brandon Marshall with a passionate speech about NBA contracts and the Texas State University situation with the sister.
Yeah.
I'll vote for the champ, Lucius. How about you?
I'm going to go with Dodo right there, man.
Yeah, I'm with Dodo as well. Yeah.
I lit a few cigars over the weekend. I'm trying to get that voice, you know, nice and deep.
Yeah.
Hit the lake a few times.
Yeah.
Might have rolled up and down the street in that 2500 with my dog hanging out the window, my girl's feet up on the dash.
Oh, nice.
I did that a few times. Listen to music like this that's under us.
Very relaxing.
Yeah, really relaxed.
I'm going to vote for Sister Agnes, or what was her
sister? I was bad girl.
Sister Cindy.
Yeah, Sister Cindy was out there just giving it up. She's saying, you better not.
By a score of 2-1, he's done it. Dodo played good defense. A season high 23 points, and now your G-Bag of the Day champion. Okay, we have a winning time right here for you. Text the word BOOM to 72881. That's BOOM to 72881. You'll have another chance to win a grand coming up in the three. It's brought to you by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. Brian, what do you want to talk about next?
I'll tell you what. Tim Kirchin, the baseball writer, had some really interesting questions of what did baseball players do during the pandemic. We'll talk about that next.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. Here's Brian Broaddus in his daily content.
Thank you very much, General. I found this pretty interesting because Tim Kirchin is ESPN is one of my favorite writers for baseball and stuff, but he always seems to get inside the players. You know, he has great, really great stories and stuff, and it made me think because Jeff was talking about his gardening. And
Thank you. You want to dig into that a little more?
Maybe another time.
Okay.
But you know what? But Tim, it's funny because Tim asked a bunch of baseball players, what did they do during the pandemic when you were trapped in hotels or sequestered at home? What kind of things did you do? I mean, you had time to develop hobbies, refine an old one. You know, they were talking about all the different things that these players had done. And I want to go through a few of these funny ones. I thought there were some interesting ones that guys... First off, what would you guys do, by the way, too? I mean, you talk about gardening and stuff like that, Jeff.
Took up gardening, and I started taking the paper. That's what I did.
So that's when you were sequestered in the pandemic. Those are the two things. If no pandemic, would you have done either one of these things?
Probably not. Probably not. Just sitting around the house. Need to water my plants. So that's what I did.
So we're on the MLB schedule where we're in and out of different hotels.
Right.
Because the gardening would be unavailable, I think, if you're out there traveling.
Uh-huh.
Call of Duty.
Yeah, you got Call of Duty.
Right.
I think I definitely spent significant time at that. Reading.
Yes.
I think books. You know, that's a hell of an opportunity right there.
Right.
Catching up on podcasts or getting into podcasts.
There you go.
Maybe streaming. You know, Zeke started streaming. Joey Gallo, quite a few players really got into that.
So you guys have some really good ideas though.
Hatchet throwing.
Well, I don't know.
Did you see that on ESPN one night?
Tolerate.
Did you do? Is that something you saw?
I've seen it. It looks fun. Because I guess
a lot of people are having fun doing that. I think it's very satisfying when it hits.
Yeah.
I've
done it before and it bounced off the target every single time.
So that's what I wonder. If you're out there 877-881-1053 and you're somebody who's comfortable with knife combat, and I mean throwing them at someone, Like, do you have to get a certain distance away for your certain amount of rotations, or from any range, can you adjust your release point? Yeah. Something I've always wondered about.
Is that just a natural
And are
feel?
You a ninja?
Yes, no. And that too.
Because who would be throwing nine?
But you have to think about the rotation, right? With the yeah. I mean, yeah. You have to think about the
from
wave.
A certain
release
distance,
point.
You just
yeah,
let
the,
it go.
The release point, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's easy with a Chinese star because there's so many points. Just fling it.
Exactly.
Get right. that thing rotating. Exactly.
Yeah, I think, yeah. With, yeah, because you have to, there's a rule, you have to throw it overhand, right? I mean, there's no other way. You can't just, like, underhand the thing. You
oh, back to the axe?
Yeah, yeah. The axe, yeah.
If you caught
yeah.
the,
I mean, the star, you can throw it any way you want, yeah.
Yeah, you would, what if you reverse gripped it under, I'm trying to picture and I can't picture it right now. If I went the other way with it, maybe.
I would think you would have more control underhanded for some reason. I don't
less
know
chance for a UCL tear also. Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, it's no Rangers will be throwing that the axe for sure. But some of these baseball players had some interesting ideas, well, much like you guys had. But Red Sox pitcher Chris Sale, he said a lot of backyard sports with the three boys, baseball, basketball, soccer, football, frisbee. Asked, can you still dunk? He said, oh, yeah, I can dunk, Sale said. He's 6'6", but it's not as fulfilling dunking on a 10-year-old. I had to show him who the man of the house was.
That's right. That's right. I admire that. You can't let kids win at things.
Ever.
No.
Ever.
I think I let her win until she could theoretically win.
Your daughter's into yeah. judo now, right? Or jujitsu,
yeah.
right?
Jujitsu, yeah.
Yeah, she's gonna hip toss you here in a minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's getting half decent, but... Her old man can wrestle a little bit, so I look forward to those matches as she gets a little bit older and more experienced.
Okay.
Were you a high school wrestler?
No, not really. Middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Middle school?
Yeah, I got body slammed pretty bad in eighth grade wrestling, kind of deterred me from pursuing it further. But
set yeah. another career path there?
Yeah. Old Dallas Wittenborn got me. Yeah.
Love that you remember the name.
I do. You always remember the people that did stuff to you. You always do.
You guys see the video of the former Raiders offensive lineman who got in a fight at Walmart? He didn't win.
Didn't win?
No, he didn't win.
Oh my God.
Did he really play for the Raiders?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
At some point. Not for long. But he is a former NFL player, and he told the guy he wanted to fight him, and the guy came around.
He's
in
hell, right?
Oh, God.
He learned a lesson today, though. That's good for him. He learned a lesson. He'll keep his mouth shut now.
Very similar to the bathroom brawl at Oklahoma?
No, because bathroom brawl was like trained fighter. This was a guy that you could tell had been in fights, but he was straight swinging. Like our other guy was like trying to get right with his distances or whatever, and he's like, I'm an offensive lineman. I'm going to kick your butt. And the other guy was just like, bow, bow. And at one point, his head went off the register. And it's like, beep.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah,
that's
why you don't said, fight. Like, item unavailable. Like,
that would go viral.
Yeah. How about this one? Red Sox outfielder Alex Verdugo. He said, I started juicing my own oranges. Doesn't it taste better than juice you buy at this grocery store? Definitely. Mine is much better. Fresh orange juice is the best. I don't like pulp. I take the pulp out. You guys pulp, guys?
Yeah. No. I'm no pulp.
Yep, love the pulp.
No pulp.
It's weird.
Taking the pulp out's weird?
Yeah, I don't know how you would take the pulp out. Maybe do you
strainer? Oh, yeah. You gotta. It's a little extra work.
Yeah.
It's a little extra work.
I'd like to apologize to whoever the former Oakland Raider is that did not get beat up, Lucius. Because people are telling me it turns out it was not a player.
It wasn't a Raider?
It was a false accusation of who it was. It was just a very large man, apparently.
Yeah.
Tough break.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he learned a lesson.
Yeah.
Whoever watch his mouth now. Is,
yeah. I'll tell you. I promise you.
Jeff hates pulp. We've learned that today.
He's going to be a peace first guy. Hold on. Let's break it up.
Yes. I want my orange juice to be as smooth as possible. You know, because pulp, you end up getting chunks in there.
Yeah.
That's good.
I wouldn't do orange juice as a kid if it had pulp in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pulp's gross.
Just felt weird.
But I'll eat an orange. I just don't want it to feel like I'm eating an orange.
Now we're...
But I'm drinking now. I'm not eating.
Yeah, I got it.
So I don't want chunks in my drink.
How about this one? Yankee pitcher. This guy's a former Ranger. Corey Kluber, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He says...
Stealing money?
Yeah.
Is that what his hobby was?
Nah.
He said, though, General, he goes, I really got into homeschooling.
What?
Oh, that's brutal, man.
Okay, he says, and Tim asks, well, what's the scouting report on you as a homeschooler? He says, I don't have a lot of strengths. I have a lot of weaknesses. He said, my kids will give you all the weaknesses.
Yeah.
No way at home.
I had to
right?
relearn the long division, man. I was like, what are the tricks and the rules to this? And I know how many times 15 goes into 200 and whatever, but how do you actually make it all go?
Oh, yeah, because you do the 15 number with the two numbers, and then that's a one, and then you carry it down there.
Yeah, bringing it all down.
Yeah.
I didn't remember those things. But I don't have the patience for it. My appreciation for teachers really went up.
Oh, no, I absolutely. Yeah. Bennett knows better to even ask me. Seriously, he's takes some classes that I'm like, nah, please don't ask.
Did you do his homework one time?
No,
and you got it all wrong?
No. I could have, and it would have been a disaster. Yeah. It would have been an absolute disaster for him. Alex Cora, how about him?
Cheating. On something else.
Red Sox manager, right? He says, I became a cook. Was into barbecuing. Said he goes, I went a little overboard. A lot of red meat. It was bad.
No, it wasn't.
When I did my labs coming in the spring training, you know?
Yeah.
They said, whoa. They put me on a diet right away.
Oh, you're the manager.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, the doctor, their team doctor.
Tony La Russa, when he was managing, wasn't out there busting out bicycle crunches?
Yeah. The doctor here, Larry Ronan, with the Red Sox says, you better do something or I'll have to give you medicine.
Oh, wow.
And he says, you know, but they asked Cora what his specialty was. He says, for breakfast, I made stuffed peppers, stuffed chorizo with Swiss cheese eggs. He goes, I put them on the grill for 2 hours, but I had to get up early to do that.
Wow, he really got into it.
He did get into that.
Spent that time in Houston, became a barbecue enthusiast.
Yeah. If you have thought about getting into grilling, I would recommend don't. That's what I would do. Because it just, you'd spend a lot of time there. The food's great, but you'll become obsessed. You don't want that. You don't want that.
I think the thing that I become obsessed with is cooking crawfish. That's my obsession.
Yeah. Sick, yeah.
I am sick, and I love to do it. Okay, Jeff, how about this one for you? Ryan Pressly, here's an Astros pitcher, speaking of cheating programs.
Boo!
Ryan Pressly goes, hey, my wife and I built a garden. I grew jalapeno peppers.
Hey, now,
my
yes.
My wife planted everything else, and we had some great salads.
Oh, no, but I just want to make salsa. I want to make chile. Just tomatoes, jalapenos, salsa.
I tell you what, though, I'm looking forward to it. How long did they say before you would get that? I mean,
it's like 40 or 50 days, give or take.
Yeah, it doesn't take long at all, man. We were eating salad pretty quick, the cucumbers and all that good stuff. Mm.
So it's 40, 50 days?
I'm probably going to kill it all. But in theory, the little tags on each plant say how long it should be before you got some things you can eat.
Uh-huh.
And I think some of them are like 54 days and some are like 40-something, some are like 70. So I don't remember which is which, but there will be something disgusting.
Well, it's good to see somebody else doing your hobby as well. And my last thing for you here, Max Scherzer. Can you guys tell me what this is?
Because cyborg stuff.
I don't know what he's doing here. General, everybody's here is really bright here. What is poor painting? What is poor? P-O-U-R, painting.
He says, like I did a lot. Is that Lebowski where the lady was just swinging over something and pouring out paint?
Is that like sipping paint where you sip wine
and
you paint?
I don't know. It's like, I needed to look it up because I thought maybe one of you guys would know. He says, I did a lot of poor painting, P-O-U-R, with my kids on YouTube.
Oh, no.
Abstract painting. Oh. It's wild.
Yeah, it looks like you just pour
cups of paint into areas and...
So it just splatter? It's splatter painting is all it
looks like it.
Then you make it an NFT, sell it for $10 million. Yep.
Is that really painting, though?
I think so. I think
really?
So. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Yeah.
Okay, well, you figure Max Scherzer would be doing something weird.
Yeah, see, you just pour a bunch of different random colors in and see where they go.
You have to get the right kind of medium, like some sort of a, I don't know, acrylic or what they're saying here exactly, but there's a certain type of paint that reacts to the medium and does, you know, cool looking stuff.
Now, I've seen him throw it on walls and stuff, but I couldn't imagine doing it on a painting, but I didn't know what poor paint, so I guess it's just what it says it is.
Dude, some of these are kick ass.
Yeah.
See, that's not what it would look like if I poured.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Some of these guys, they have some really interesting things that they were doing, but poor painting, I don't think I would do one of those. The cooking thing I'd be into for sure.
There it is. Brian brought us in his daily content here in the G-Bag Nation. Sam Darnold trade takeaways and what it means for the Cowboys. This bad news, it's next in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.